Right. And while the kids are heading out, if you would like to, we will be in 2 Thessalonians this morning, chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. So again, that'll be 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. All right, and while we're turning there, there's something I kind of want to share. It's a little bit, I know, it feels like it's a little bit of a stretch, kind of from what we're going to today, but the overall idea is something that kind of impacted me thinking about the Thessalonians, and it was something that happened to me earlier this week, and it was simply that I made a bad decision with that one, and the bad decision was I said yes to my friends when they asked me if I wanted to go night fishing with that. Yes, and really, it could be a bad decision. The main bad decision was it wasn't just that I said, yes, I'll go night fishing. The bad decision was I didn't ask them where we are going or what I should wear with that one. Because in my mind, I was like, it's summertime, right? So in my mind, I show up thinking what I normally would for doing anything summertime. I'm wearing my chacos, my shorts, and a t-shirt. And I show up at my friend's place, and I walk in, and they are both wearing boots, pants, long sleeves. And I just go, oh, no. And I was like, great. Luckily, my friend let me borrow his hoodie. And we go out to where we're going, and immediately when we park in the little place there, get attacked by mosquitoes right off the bat. Biggest batch of mosquitoes I've encountered so far this year, which that's something to look forward to, I guess. We get attacked by those. So we just cover ourselves literally head to toe, spray our clothes and everything with some strong bug repellent. So I already have, right off the bat, been attacked by mosquitoes, and I got bug repellent up my nose, in my mouth, and all that. And then we had to trek through some tall grass, and I mean, at one point it gets really tall. I kept joking with my friends, like I was expecting velociraptors to jump at us with how tall it was, because all I could think of was that scene from the second Jurassic Park movie with that one, and I was like, if I hear any weird sounds, I'm just going to run and hope for the best. But it was one of those. But then I'm walking through stuff that was pretty like waist high, knee high, and as soon as we got to that part, all of a sudden my legs are itching beyond belief with that one, because of course I'm wearing shorts and I didn't know what was going on. So my feet and my legs are just starting to itch like crazy, to the point to where we finally got to our spot. The first thing I did was pull up my phone and Google poison oak and poison ivy, because I was like, are any of those leaves resembling that? And to be honest, I don't know with that one, but I survived. But went through all of that, and the whole night eventually gets pretty cold, and I'm starting to get cold because I'm wearing what I'm wearing. That one. And luckily I'm borrowing one of my friend's hoodies, so the upper half of me is a little bit warm. But we get that. The whole night, the several hours we're out there, we only catch 2 fish, by the way, with that, through this whole experience. And then also while we're out there, some truck kind of goes by nearby that spraying what smells like bug spray, but I mean, trucks don't spray bug spray, right? So they're spraying pesticides in the area. So now this whole experience throughout the night, I have been attacked by mosquitoes. I can taste bug spray. I know that I've somewhat inhaled or ingested pesticide to some degree with that one. My legs itch beyond belief, and then it starts to get pretty cold, all that. And all of that the entire time, I'm like, is this even worth it? And I keep thinking to myself, why did I say yes to this? I should have just come up with some excuse or even just said, hey, you guys go have fun. I'll catch you next time or something like that. And I was just beating myself up. Well, I wasn't beating myself up. I was being grumpy. I was being very whiny during the whole time. In my mind, I wasn't saying any of this stuff. But I was thinking this the whole time. I was just negative throughout the whole experience. And then one of the 2 fish we caught, by the way, was one caught. And it was so small, I didn't even know that I caught it. I'll say that. Literally, because we were out just trying to get some catfish, just so we could fish. We weren't going to keep them or eat them or anything like that because, blah, catfish. But, I should say, local catfish. It's not like the good stuff that you probably get down south. But we got to a point to where I literally thought that my line just fell in some mud or silt close by the bank, because I kind of pull on it, and then once I kind of pulled on that, there was no pull anymore. So I was like, okay. So I started to pull it up, finally, so I could recast. And then I see something on the end, just more than what it was right there. And I was like, oh, I just got a whole bunch of moss or came together in a weird-shaped grouping. And I pull it closer. I'm like, whoa, that's an actual fish, or that one. And I'm expecting my friends to give me a hard time because this guy's no longer than my hand. Like, that's the tiniest fish I've caught since I was probably like 5 or something like that. And it's not like I've done a lot of fishing, but still. I was just kind of like, whoa, what is going on? This whole night just seems like a waste of time. But then I realized the next day, my friends, they gave me a little bit of a hard time because I caught a fish without realizing it. I mean, that is kind of a funny thing to joke about. But not once were they making fun of my fish with that one. In fact, they were psyching me up even more because I caught a fish. That was the whole point of why we went out there in the first place, was to fish, to catch a fish. But I was so focused on all these inconveniences. And to be fair, it was a whole bunch of minor inconveniences that all happened all at once, essentially, in a short period of time. And I was so fixated on all of them that I was just being grumpy and I didn't really get that excited when I caught a fish. I didn't really care that much about it. And I reflected on it the day after more, and I really started thinking about the Thessalonians too, as I had been spending time in this and thinking, here are these people who are in a situation that is just rough. It is hard. They're being persecuted. They are genuinely worried for their well-being, for themselves, their friends, their family. And yet they are still striving on for the Lord in doing what they should be doing. And yet here I was, when I should be enjoying the moment that I have, the fact that I caught a fish, and I was whining about that. And how much do I do that in my day-to-day life without even realizing it? Because Matthew 4:19, remember what Jesus says to Peter and his brother Andrew? He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Part of what we are supposed to do as believers in Christ is to bring other people to Christ. Sometimes we get so fixated on all the little minor inconveniences. To be fair, sometimes they may not be minor, but still an inconvenience. We get so fixated on them that we forget the whole purpose of why we're here, which is to bring people to Christ, to experience the wonderful gift that is. And luckily, I had my friends encouraging me in that moment. And that's something that we kind of see Paul, Silas, and Timothy doing with these Thessalonians. They are encouraging these guys who are going through a hard time, and they're trying to, Paul, Silas, and Timothy are trying to make sure the Thessalonians aren't losing focus or get discouraged from doing the amazing work they're already doing, to help them realize that they are doing a wonderful thing, to spur them on to continue to do such a great work for him. And so today, what we're going to do is we're actually going to look at, or just we're going to view what really is an encouraging prayer request from them. And in doing that, we're going to look at three reminders for. So we're going to look at three reminders for enduring hardships this morning. And those three reminders are going to be the power of prayer, an awareness of evil, and a reliance on God. And these are things I think we all kind of know to an extent, but again, it's something we all need to be reminded of and be reminded in more detail with that. So let's look at our passage this morning and dive into that. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. So back here in verse 1, we see this first little reminder, which is simply the power of prayer. And I like how, first of all, I just want to point out when he says, finally, brothers, he's just saying, hey, we're at the last part of my letter here. Finally, I'm wrapping this up. Now, like, oh, finally. Not something like that. It's just something like, finally, as we're coming to a close, as Jeremy would say, in conclusion, which is really ironic because he did in 1 Thessalonians, like halfway in the letter. But finally, as we're wrapping this up, brothers, pray for us. And it gets more specific this time, because in the first letter he wrote to them, he just simply said the words, pray for us. That was it. But here he says, pray for us, and he gives a detailed, specific prayer request, which I like that a lot, because it's something that we may forget to do sometimes. Sometimes we simply just say, pray for us, pray for me. But we don't say what we want people to pray about. And that's a great thing, because I'll tell you right now, I want you to tell me what to pray about. Otherwise, I'm just throwing up a Hail Mary that I nailed it on the head. But Paul does a great example of this. He tells people specifically what he's praying for them, and then asks for specific prayer requests. I think that's a great example that we should follow, to be telling people specifically how we pray for them and asking people to specifically pray for us as well. Because prayer is a wonderful tool to be used. But this way he says he's asking for a specific prayer request for them, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And we know that they're going through some hard times. They're experiencing some, what's the word I'm thinking of right now? I'd say roadblocks, I guess, as I'm having one right now, that one. They're experiencing opposition, hardships as well. Yet this is his prayer request. He says that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. He's not praying, or his prayer request isn't, hey, pray for us that we'd be safe, pray for health, pray for our finances, pray for safe travels. No, pray that the gospel is spread. Pray for us that people come to know who Jesus is. The truth of the word goes out and has a transformative impact. That's what he wants as a prayer request for them. I think that's really cool, because I think in a sense, we know that we should pray. We know in some sense how to pray. But do we pray for evangelizing or evangelism like this? We might pray in a broad sense that people come to know who Jesus is. We might pray for specific people that they might come to know who Jesus is. But do we pray for our brothers and sisters or people right here in this room that they be used to share the gospel in an impactful way? It's like I pray for evangelism in a pretty broad term. In fact, it's one of the four things that we that makes us who we are. We're all about Bible study, fellowship, service, evangelism. We want people to know Jesus is. We want them to come to a saving knowledge that, and that doesn't come from just praying and never interacting with them. It is us actively sharing the truth of the word and being used in a wonderful way. We should pray for impactful gospel sharing amongst all of us. I think that's a great thing to pray for. To pray that we get to share the gospel with other people, that's so cool. To pray that our brothers and sisters here at Grace Bible Church get to lead other people to Christ, that's awesome. To be used in such a great way like that. I think that's a wonderful thing that we should take as an example and pray for. But not only that, he says, pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. I like the idea of speed ahead. Now, it's just, he's not saying, pray that the gospel is shared really fast so we can be done with this and go on vacation. No, speed ahead, the way I picture it, is like a runaway train. You know, if you've ever seen those movies where all of a sudden it's like, oh no, the train won't stop and it's getting faster and faster. Then something's in the way of the train and just obliterates whatever was in the train track. It's like that. It's something that spreads and is so quick and powerful that nothing can stop it. That is what he wants. He wants it to speed ahead, that this person shares with this person, and then they get so excited and jacked up that they share with this person, and they share with this person, and people can't hinder the truth of the word, the truth of Christ, who he is, his love, from being shared. People don't stop the truth of the gospel. That's what he wants, to get that big momentum going in sharing the truth of the word, that it doesn't stop at any point. Everyone else gets so jacked up, that it just spreads like a wildfire. And that's what it means to speed ahead And he says, and be honored as happened among you. These guys know. They know that the gospel is life-changing. They understand this was a glorifying thing, the truth of the word. In fact, it changed their lives so much that it is impacting the lives of people they haven't even interacted with. Because they're hearing reports of it. They're seeing the other people who have been impacted by it. It is speeding ahead through them already. Yet Paul, Silas, and Timothy are asking this church, these Thessalonian believers, they're asking them to petition the God of the universe to do this. He's not just encouraging them, saying, hey, I want you guys to share the gospel because we're going to do it more. He's saying, pray to God that this happens. Why? Because this happens through the power of God. The only way something so great and powerful for the glory of God only comes through His power. It's not something that we can do in our own strength and ability. And he says it every single time. This is what always kind of blows me away. This thing that is so impactful, when we break it down and dissect it, he says it so casually every single time. But pray for this. It should be just a casual thing. We should just casually make this part of our regular prayer life. Praying for impactful gospel sharing amongst our brothers and sisters, that we all want to share the gospel in a wonderful way. And not just that, that the gospel goes out like a wildfire. People get so excited and jacked up that they want to share it more and more. Because when you come to know this Jesus, the true God of the universe, this Jesus who laid down his life, who loves us this much, this isn't something we can keep to ourselves. Something I don't want to keep to myself. In fact, it's something I have to bite my tongue. See, now I'm messing it up right there. But the first time, it just sounded weird when it came out of my mouth for some reason. But I do have to bite my tongue every now and then because I'm at work and I need to be professional. But I hear some of my coworkers saying something, and I'm not part of the conversation. I want to jump in and be like, let me tell you the real truth. I've gotten to have some really great conversations too. But when you get jacked up and you hear people talking about it, you're like, I want to make sure you know this. So, guys, prayer is powerful. We need to remember that. It's not something that's just on a checklist that we need to do to make God happy. We are coming to the God of the universe to ask Him to do something so great and wonderful. And what are we asking Him to do in this instance? To cause other people to know Him and be saved. I can't think of anything greater to pray for other people than for them to come to know who Jesus is and have eternal life. So we have the power of prayer, and then we have the awareness of evil, which we see in verses 2 and 3. It says, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. I like that. It's a quick, immediate contrast from the Thessalonian believers who have such this bold and wonderful faith that it is impactful in their whole community and surrounding areas. And then we see wicked and evil men. Now, we do see how he mentions the evil one at the end of verse 3, but right here in 2, he's referring to men. Wicked and evil men. Now, when we're referring to that, we're not just saying those who don't know Christ, the unsaved. No, wicked and evil men, as he says right here, for not all have faith. These guys have heard the truth of the gospel. They've heard it shared. They know to some extent what is being shared when other people are talking about Jesus, and they chose to say no. And not only did they choose to say no, but they are doing everything they can to stop other people from coming to know the truth. They are wanting to harm the ministry of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They're wanting to harm the ministry of anyone who's trying to share the gospel. who's trying to save people from the power of sin and eternal separation from God. Which just, I can't think, again, of anything more evil than that, than trying to pull people down to hell away from eternal life. And that's what these guys are doing. Whether they're actually actively making or consciously thinking, I'm pulling people to hell with me, that's essentially what they're trying to do. So that's what he's referring to when he says wicked and evil men, people who are actively not just rejecting, but actively opposing the ministry of sharing the gospel. And he goes in to say, the Lord is faithful. And actually, I want to step back really quick because I forgot to mention something I do think before I go on here. I do think this is an important thing. I almost skipped over this. When he says not all believe, we do need to realize we want to share the gospel. We want people to know the truth of the word. We want people to be saved. Not everyone's going to say yes. Not everyone's going to place their faith in Christ. To be fair, you might have people who say no to you, and they'll say yes to someone else down the road. And guess what? You had a part in that. I guarantee you, you did. But not everyone will be saved, and it is heartbreaking. Because some of us probably have friends and family who've heard the gospel over and over and over and still chosen to reject. But we also need to realize that there are people who not only will hear the truth, but hear the truth and then choose to be like these wicked and evil men. And it's something that we need to be well aware of. There is real opposition out there, and we will have these types of rejections in doing this. But then, in verse 3, it says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Again, we need to just remember, with this opposition that we need to be aware of, God's in control. God's going to keep his promises. He's taking care of all of it. I don't need to freak out because someone said no. I don't need to worry because other people are trying to actively oppose him. Because when I see a man, a human, trying to actively oppose the God of the universe, I'm like, good luck. I need to remember God is faithful. He's in control of all of this. And then he will establish us. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, it says, he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. As he establishes us, remember, he's still doing the work. He is helping us to lay the foundations to make our faith even stronger so we can be used in a greater capacity for whatever he has for us down the road. Not only does he establish us, but he keeps us or he guards us from the evil one. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it calls the devil our adversary. Not only that, but our adversary that's so intense that he's like a roaring lion waiting for an opportunity to pounce on us. That is who God is keeping us safe from. Someone who's looking for any opportunity to grab hold of us and pull us away from him. But the best thing is the more we lean into him, the more we just embrace his truth, obey his commands, the more we just grow in our faith, the more guarded we are. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, speaking of the evil one and what our opposition is, it says, for we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over their present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That is where the greatest opposition for us comes from. But the cool thing here in Ephesians right there is he goes on to say that what we should do because of that is take up the whole armor of God. And really, when we look at what it is to be guarded from these evil powers, and that we're guarded by God from this, really the whole armor of God is just God. It's not a checklist of making sure that I did all the right things, and then all of a sudden, I'm good to go. I know it's hard for me because when I was little, I'm not sure if they still do this, but at all the Bible, and I mean all the Bible bookstores, they had this. When I was little, it was just plastic armor that we could put on, and it was called the armor of God, and it would say certain things on all the little things like that. And it was cool, but all it really was tools for me and my brother to beat up each other with. But that's kind of, the problem is that's how we pictured it, was just, all right, I literally need to put that stuff on. But really, what it is just the more I obey and rely and lean on the God of the universe, guys, it's already on. I'm surrounded by this amazing bubble, this giant shield that is God. And I tried to make a graphic, and I did a bad job, so I didn't put it up there. But all I pictured really is I just had the word God written out with that. And I tried to make it seem like there was like this aura kind of thing like coming off of it. Like, you know, like every time you try to hear like the angels singing, kind of like that little shiningness that you come out of there. But I had the O in God be really big. And then I just wrote us inside of that. That is how we are guarded from that. It's not like, hey, I need to pray more and more so that way when, you know, Satan shows up, Jesus is just going to pop up and punch him in the face and he's going to run away. No, it's that we are surrounded by him constantly so he can't get at us at all. And that only comes by being more and more faithful, spending more and more time in prayer, more time obeying the truth of his word. We need to be fully aware that there is this evil, because if we're not, then we become lazy and complacent. And then we become very vulnerable to the temptations and works of all this evil that is out there trying to pull us away from God. So we need to be aware of this evil, but as the best way to combat it is a reliance on God, which is what the next point is, which is reliance on God in verses 4 through 5, which again say, "And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." I like how he's finishing up this prayer request with a prayer about them, this encouraging word for them. First, he says, we have this confidence in the Lord about you. He's encouraging others about their faith. I have confidence in God because of how faithful you already are. You've proven to be faithful in that. And I like that encouragement right there, because I don't know about you guys, but I've doubted the degree of my faithfulness at times. I know plenty of others who have. I'm not talking about here, but I've had conversations with people before where we just feel like I'm not good enough. I'm not doing what God wants of me. I'm messing up too much. I shouldn't be doing anything for God. I shouldn't be in any position. I shouldn't be trying to lead others to Christ because I'm too much of a screw up. I've sinned too many times. I did a dumb thing in the past. Whatever it is. It's really easy for us to doubt our faith. But really, when we step back and look at the grand scheme and really stop and look at ourselves, be like, look at what I've been able to do for God. Look at what God has done for me, who I am in Christ. We should have this confidence. Not only that, we should encourage one another in the exact same way. But the wonderful things that we see people doing for God. I'll tell you right now, this one thing, I love this little body we have right here. Faithfulness that I see in our people to step up in all the little things. The wonderful fellowship that we get to have here. The desire for everyone to want to do more. That was the thing. when we do membership class, we have like a little section on that sheet for those of you guys who haven't gone through that yet. It just says, what would you like to, you know, anything that you want to do, or is there any particular you would like to do more of? And people just say, I want to be more involved. I want more opportunities to serve, whatever that looks like. And I love that that is the main heart of our people right here, is I just want to serve wherever that is. I see a wonderful faithfulness in our people. And then it goes on, this last little part of the prayer request ends in the full prayer for them in verse 5. And with everything that they've endured, that they've gone through, all the hardships, that the genuine fear for their lives and their well-being, Paul, Silas, and Timothy pray for them, would direct them back to God. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God. May you never forget how much God loves you. What he wants God to do that, because God's really the only one who can do that. The best way for us to see God for who he is God has to show us. We can't rely on people to give the full example of God's love. And it's so easy to poke holes in every single thing. This person tells me that Jesus loves me, but look, they've done this, 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 and this. I'm like, yeah. But that doesn't make the fact that Jesus loves you any less true. When God directs us to that love, wow, what a wonderful reminder. But I like the fact that, again, the best way for that to happen is only through his power. It's not our sole responsibility to do that. It is a reliance on him for that. That's another thing, if we want to use that as an example to add to our prayer life. Pray that we all are directed back and reminded of how much God loves us. This sacrificial, selfless, all-encompassing love that we can only experience from him. We can experience varying degrees of love from our family, friends, spouses, but nothing compares to the love that God has for us. So we praise that God would direct them back to this love and to the steadfastness of Christ. This endurance, this perseverance that Christ has, which we see a great example of in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, where it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We want God to direct us to the love he has for us and to the degree of perseverance and endurance that Jesus has. I mean, can you think of anyone else who endured and persevered more than Christ himself? That is the endurance, the perseverance that we can have when we're going through hardships, when we're going through difficult times, whether it's legitimate persecution, whether it's just a whole bunch of minor inconveniences, whether it's major inconveniences. We want God to direct us back to him, to be reminded the love that he has for us, and that we can persevere through all of this because Christ persevered through so much more because of his love for us. This isn't something that's impossible. We absolutely can do this, but only in his power. So it's just a quick little prayer, somewhat of a prayer request. And we can remind ourselves, we should be reminding ourselves. Hard times do come up, no matter how severe or minor they are. Guys, there is power in prayer. We need to be aware of the evil that we have out there so that we don't become susceptible to it. And in doing that, we need to make sure that we are always, always relying on God, because only through His power can we accomplish all these wonderful things. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for these encouraging words that we get from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Just a wonderful example we get from the Thessalonian believers in their depth of faith that they have in just enduring and persevering to be faithful in the hard times, that we can look at that wonderful example and be encouraged. God, I pray that we can properly examine ourselves and that we can start to, if we don't already, that we can pray for these things, that the gospel have this amazing impact, that we have a greater desire to share the gospel wherever we are, and that we can have our eyes open and be aware that there is evil out there, and that we have our guard up so that way we are not allowing ourselves to be influenced by it. But through all of this, that we are relying on you, that we allow ourselves to give more and more of us to you so that way we get to experience the joy and blessing that comes from seeing you clearly, from embracing your love on a daily basis, and that you just use us in a mighty way that we can go out from that to just do a wonderful circle of continuing to share other people's love, share your love with other people. So that way the gospel would spread out like a wildfire here where we are in our little community, Lord. And so we thank you so much. We love you. And we just pray for your blessing on the rest of our time here today, Lord. In all this, in your name we pray. Amen.